Once again, I am here in Springfield, Missouri at the American Hereford Association's Hereford Genetics Summit here on the campus of Missouri State University. And we just got done hearing from John Lundeen, NCBA's Senior Executive Director of Market Research, and Joe Pollack, Technomic Vice President. And they shared with us understanding tomorrow's consumers, and they kind of hit on six different key points or thought starters that those as breeders and consumers we need to pay attention to as we continue to market beef. So first of all, the first one was it's not meat and potatoes anymore. Kind of John hit on that and what that means.
Well, it ties together with some of the other thoughts, which is it's no longer that we're selling our product as a roast. Roast sales have declined. And what's happening instead is folks are getting our product as part of an ethnic meal. They're getting strips, they're getting stir fries. They still love a great steak. And ground beef has grown over time. So over half of our pounds are going out into the market as ground beef. So what we're really saying is it's our product has to perform in a lot of different situations. Okay, it's not the old style situation where a consumer would make a roast in the oven, which is a pretty easy way to cook beef, and they're moving to a different style of cooking. The restaurant world is evolving. Our product, there's going to be higher expectations for our product down the road. Joe, would you like to add to that?
Sure, John. And just to build on your ethnic piece, 60% of eating occasions today include a global cuisine to it. So whether it be a Mexican cuisine or has an ethnic influence that may be Italian, African, South American. So just kind of think about that in terms of what that means for beef. All of them have their own different flavors, may have a different type of spice or marinade or rub around it. So beef in this case becomes the carrier of those flavors. So it's important that beef become more kind of the base, and the flavors carry the flavor and the influence, whereas the beef is again the base and doesn't stand alone in these instances. It's the flavor of the ethnic influence.
Well, you also talked about further process and the evolution of further process. What are those cuts? What can we see in the beef industry when it comes to further process?
Well, we've already seen it in ground beef, that there is a whole sector that has cropped up to make a great ground beef patty for that restaurant that's selling those hamburgers. We're increasingly seeing those patties in grocery stores. It's just a convenient product for the consumer. I get it at a restaurant, or guess what? I get that pre-made patty. What we're thinking is that the same thing's going to evolve with stir fries, fajitas, Indian curries, that there will be another party involved in selling our product out to either the grocery store or the restaurant. And they'll have expectations. They'll find a specific cut that they like to work with. It could be the flank. It could be the brisket. It could be one of our high-quality steaks. It could be something that comes out of the round. But there'll be very specialized ways for us to really capitalize on the diversity of beef cuts and how those beef cuts perform in different ways. And so I think it is a value story here. It's good for the industry, but it's also a more complicated story that we're going to have to find ways to market all of these cuts for these specific applications.
Well, next, you already hit on it a little bit, ground beef, ground beef, ground beef. And I like the quote of the original convenience food, and we don't think of it as that, but it really was. Kind of hit on that.
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, the burger is handheld, very easy to eat. You can eat it on the go. You know, I'm from Chicago, and we talk about the slider, which is the White Castle hamburger, a small burger. You know, John talked about it as, you know, we have a chicken nugget, in so to speak, in the beef industry, which is a small burger, very easy to eat. And we're seeing that burgers overall, a lot more, I think it's a resurgence in popularity in kind of the more traditional, larger burgers that have a new twist and new flares to them. And the new twists and new flares are that they're typically larger in size, they have new toppings, new types of breads or carriers to them, and consumers are gravitating to these, and they're higher in price. That's one thing to keep in mind, that this isn't your typical burger that you're going to get at a McDonald's or a Burger King. Some of these burgers are $7, $8 a piece, and they're in what we call the fast casual segment of the industry. So higher price, consumer has a high expectation for quality here, but the important thing is they're willing to pay more for these products because the quality is there. So when the quality is there, they're willing to pay more for it, that value expectation is being met.
We saw burgers sell well through the recession. And we got to remember that this is the go-to meal for lots of households. It's when a mom or a dad goes to the refrigerator and grabs ground beef, they can make a burger, but they can also make tacos, they can make meatballs, they can make other meals their family really likes. So it's a real backbone for the industry. It is over half the pounds of product that we sell in the beef industry.
Another thought starter you shared with us today was smaller meals. Our households are smaller. People are eating alone. We are snacking more. What's that mean for beef?
Well, one obvious thing is in the grocery store, we've got to get to smaller packages because of this one-person household. And we're all busy. People's lives never slow down, okay? So when you're a small household and you go in and there's three steaks in a package, I've got to take it home and repackage and put a couple in the freezer, or I've got to run the risk that I have one tonight and then, you know, the others go bad. So I think we have to start thinking about smaller packages of product. We've got to think about that solitary eater, the person that's eating alone. And it's not just a one-person household. Even in larger families, people are eating in shifts. So I'll have a steak. My wife might have a salad later. One of my kids is going to have spaghetti. And then they want a little, you know, a meatball sauce on there, okay? So we have to think about those smaller packages, quick, convenient, fast food that people can make really quickly for that one-person situation.
Quality matters. It still matters. And obviously, we weren't surprised to hear that taste was still number one, but that was followed with tenderness, safe product, nutrition, and consistency. All that tied into fresh is the new healthy. People aren't worried as much on low fat and low cholesterol, but they want it to be fresh. What's that mean for beef?
Well, I think beef is in a perfect situation to take advantage of that, because when people think about beef, they think of it as a natural product. In general, you know, it comes from it naturally sourced. It's not processed per se. So beef is in a great position to take advantage of that. And when, you know, we talk about in the past where consumers were very much they may have been tricked or bamboozled, if you want to use that word, that in the past, you know, when you had the low-calorie and low-fat foods that were out there, and they thought they were going to lose all this weight, and we just didn't. We became more obese. So now consumers have a different mindset about health and nutrition. It's all about products that are wholesome. Beef's wholesome, natural. It's all about moderation. When I mean by moderation, it's they can have those products that traditionally have been, they thought, well, you know, it's full fat, full calorie. But you can have it, but just don't, you know, have it in moderation. Just don't eat too much of it. And consumers are doing much better with this type of these type of products and denying themselves calories and fat. So this whole idea of healthy, all talks about, when we talk to consumers about healthy, the term fresh comes to mind. And this is really one of the key terms that are being thrown around a lot today, because consumers equate fresh and healthy and healthy and fresh very similarly when they talk about both terms. Jen?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. We're seeing an interesting phenomenon recently, which is with supply down and prices higher, people are getting less beef. I always say there's less beef to go around. Now, when I'm going into a restaurant or a supermarket, my expectations of quality have just ramped up. I'm paying more for your product. I don't want to have a bad experience. So I'm saying in our environment right now, with consumers willing to pay for our product, they have expectations for all of those variables. They expect great taste. They expect a tender product. They expect a product that's consistent with what they ate last week. So I think, you know, more power to it that the consumer is paying the price for our product. It's a very healthy demand for beef right now. But boy, when they buy that product, they want a great product. And we also hear consumers saying, you know what, I'm not going to trade down. I'm not going to trade from a great grilling steak to a tougher cut of meat or a different protein. But I want it to be a great dinner. I have high expectations. Okay, so that's what we talk about. I think in today's environment, quality is even a higher expectation.
Moving on to the production story, we are finally in agriculture telling our story, and consumers want to hear it. But in the beef industry, you talked about consumers wanting transparency. They want to see the sustainability. You've talked all yesterday. I'm sure the rest of the today we'll continue to talk about the millennials and obviously the mistrust about science. How do we go about in the beef industry and specifically in the Hereford industry of telling that production story and getting them to trust us?
Well, Joel will talk a little bit about the restaurant. I'll talk about a little bit about the supermarket. They want to see a brand. They want to see what type of beef is it. They're curious. And so I think the world where it's just beef is gone. There's brands today. We walk into the supermarket, 80% of beef is now branded in the supermarket. It's got the store name on it or it's got a national brand. And so consumers like that. It tells them that somebody stands behind that product. Okay? I think that's true of breeds also. Somebody is standing behind that product. Okay? It makes me more comfortable. Now, there is a higher desire to know, well, was it raised locally? Was it raised on grass? Was it raised on a ranch? And we've got a great story as a beef industry because that is how we raise our product. We've got ranchers across America raising our product in very natural environments. The consumer can identify with that. But they don't know that that's what we're like anymore. They're two or three generations away from the farm or the ranch. They don't know what an average ranch or farm looks like. So, and they want to know. It adds to the eating experience. Okay? Great taste, great food is part of the experience. But guess what? Knowing something more about that product makes it a bit more special.
Yeah, I agree with John. In food service, we're seeing the same thing. Even within some of the higher-end fast food players that they're promoting special breeds, even though the consumer may not know what that means, they may see Hereford or Angus, it means it's something special. And if they want to do some more research on it, they can look on the internet as an example, or it's from a local farmer or a local rancher. Again, if they want to get more information, they can go on the internet, but it gives them that confidence that, hey, this is something special. And when they go out to eat, that's what they're looking for ultimately, something special, something different. And many chains, especially in this, again, when I talked about some of these higher-end burger chains, that's part of their point of difference, that they're promoting, whether it be an Angus or a Hereford on their menu or a local rancher from who they're sourcing their product from, and that's what they're saying, this is why we are different, because we are using a specialty breed or buying product from a specialty rancher, and that's why we are better than the competition.
Well, the last things you guys hit on was price. As we're talking about tomorrow's consumers, what is tomorrow's consumer willing to pay for what we've talked about?
Here's what the consumer's up against. And a lot of America is still struggling. A lot of America is still not fully recovered from this recession. So at the end of the month, I've got a decision. You know, I've got to put gas in my car. Maybe I'm paying increased rent. Okay? And so I go into a grocery store or I want to eat at a restaurant. And I still have to figure out if I've got the money to get what I really want to buy in that situation, okay? We're in a situation where beef prices are high. Chicken and pork are probably going to gear up supply. So we have to recognize that there's going to be a price differential. I go back to quality. We have to always make sure that consumer gets that great product because, yes, at the end of the day, it's still a pocketbook decision. And we have to make sure that the product we produce, they value enough to pay that price. I always come back to ground beef also. Ground beef is our value offering, okay? And we have to make sure the consumer understands its convenience and all the different things they can do with ground beef. And then, you know, and then when they can have that great steak experience, go out and just have a wonderful experience with beef.
Well, thank you, Joe and John, for sharing with us and giving us a glimpse as we can further understand tomorrow's consumers here at the Hereford Genetics Summit in Springfield. I'm Jamie Johansson.